You're listening to Show Me the Numbers with Yael Kagan, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon from Los Angeles. I'm Yael Kagan, and welcome to my weekly radio show, Show Me the Numbers, where I'm discussing different subjects. Some would be connected into my main field, which is numerology, but I'm a hypnotherapist. I am a master in neurolinguistic programming, so all working on subconscious level. Plus a numerologist, I'm a master in numerology, I teach numerology, I do lectures in numerology, and I'm also the author of the book, Unlock Your Child's Potential. And I want to introduce my guest for this show, and I want to welcome Lauren, who's coming, joining us from San Diego. And Lauren is a young professional from the San Diego area. So welcome, Lauren.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
We're excited to have you here. And I started it last week. I had another young professional, Jewish young professional from the New York area. And it actually got a very good feedback. I think people are interested to hear because they can learn from different situations, from different people. And I believe you are all facing the same type of, some are struggles, some are just, you know, things that are happening. And if we can help them this way or another and give them something they can learn from us, that's why we're doing it. And here you are with me. So welcome to my show. And I'm going to give you the microphone now to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah. So I'm Lauren. I live in San Diego, California. I have been here for 10 years. I grew up in LA and also the suburbs of Vegas. And I originally came to San Diego to attend San Diego State University. And then I graduated and never left because I love San Diego and it's a beautiful place. And yeah, that's a little intro about me. I also am the director of marketing for a commercial real estate company here in San Diego. We're part of also a global group. And yeah, that's my little spiel.
What is there not to like in San Diego? I mean, how can you leave San Diego? It's probably the nicest and the better place in the U.S.
Yeah. A lot of people like the saying in San Diego is we live where everyone vacations.
That's true. Exactly. Weather, I just told you that we are going to have close to, I don't know, 90 something or 100 in the valley in LA. And we run, you know, escape to San Diego area because you probably have upper 70s, close to 80, which is heaven for us.
Yes. Yes. So, and we also have really beautiful beaches.
Yes.
So it's,
and downtown.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. Yes. Downtown. There's a lot to do here. It's beautiful. Exactly.
So let's go, let's dive right into it because we're trying, you know, to get subjects that we can discuss and we can talk so other audience can enjoy that. And being at 28, right?
Yes.
That's the age that you are still not embarrassed to give, to expose your age, which is beautiful.
No. Yeah.
Which is absolutely beautiful. But it's also, it's considered an age for many, many people that you're facing like big challenges, even in this generation, maybe more than before. Because in the old days, at this age, people would say, I want to get married. I want to have kids. Maybe my husband will, you know, support. For women right now, it's very, very different. So I want to try to discuss with you what kind of challenges are you facing right now, both personally and professionally?
Yeah. So personally, I would say, I mean, I'm single right now. So
like, nothing to be ashamed of.
I'm like, slide into the DMs. But yeah, personally, relationship wise, I'm 2.5 years out of a long-term relationship. So I've been doing a lot of healing and a lot of leaning on my friends and my family and just doing all of that kind of stuff and doing a lot of introspection and I don't know, just like therapy, you know, all the good things, well-rounded. And yeah, I work a 9 to 5, and I also have a podcast that I am starting up again this year. What else? There's a lot of different things. I love hanging out with my friends and like just chatting with them and also seeing what's going on in their lives, in their careers. So that's my personal thing. And then for professional, I've been at my job now for 9 months, and I've always loved marketing and social media. I used to freelance social media, photography, marketing, branding, all of that stuff. And yeah, so now I'm working as the director of marketing at a commercial real estate company. And yeah, it's good right now. I actually got the job right after. Well, a little back end story is that I was supposed to move to Israel in September and make Aliyah, and everything happened in early October, as we all know. So I decided to put that on pause, and then I was out here in San Diego, needing to be financially independent per usual. But knowing that I was going to stay in San Diego instead of moving out of the country. And so, yeah, that's how I landed in the job that I'm at today.
So before I dive into the professional challenges, personal, just you know, let's just touch it a little bit because I did it also on my last show last week. How
Definitely.
is it different for your generation, for people your age? How is it different and how difficult it is to find the right relationship? Why is it more challenging, you think?
I would say because with social media and also with all of the different dating apps that are available, I feel like there is a oversaturation of choices like available at people's fingertips on their phones, always readily available. And I don't know if it's like a San Diego thing specifically, but a lot of people are not looking for a serious relationship. And I think it is also an age thing, but I don't know. Like sometimes I feel like I see like I'm like technically a millennial, which I'm not super stoked on, but I see a lot of like Gen Z people, kids who have, I think, like a different mindset when it comes to relationships. But for me personally, I remember the apps were like super popular when I was in college. So like 2014 to 2018, and that's when they really peaked and started like differentiating between like Tinder versus Bumble versus Hinge. And I feel like it's all just been kind of like influencing relationships for people my age, and also it's giving people a chance also to like reflect more and like to think about what they really want. So I feel like for me and for a lot of my friends especially, we're all, some would say, like picky, but I think that it's more about knowing yourself and exploring that and what that means, and then also recognizing the things that are non-negotiables to you as an individual and not settling. So I think that that's like the culture that I'm living in and working with right now when it comes to relationships.
Okay, and it's there's something interesting to mention here because I'm researching now a lot into it. Like, why is it so much more difficult today? And what is something I can bring into a conversation like that that can help people? So obviously therapy, there's a lot of things we can do. But what's happening now, because there is too much information, because it becomes almost, dating becomes almost like a shelf product. Because you have so many websites and so many apps, the information there, you have no way of filtering what is fake, what is not, because it's just impossible. The subconscious mind can just doesn't have the tools to be able to do that. It's not a computer after all. And when I started studying hypnotherapy, when you learn about hypnosis, it's basically to bring someone into an hypnosis state, you have to overload them with messages. So when you overload someone with messages, you come into like a natural hypnosis. And what happens at that time is like almost you become numb. You cannot really think what I need to do and what is the right choice. And what you choose to do, I think your generation, is to just not take any decision, not to make a choice. I'll just live with it. It will be around me. I don't have the tools. I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to manage that. So I'm just going to not do anything. And I hear it a lot in my practice because I see a lot of people your ages and I have a lot of couples also. But I hear from many people, I'm looking for real relationship, but others are not. Yet I see people that are looking for relationships. So it's like, okay, how do we put A with B? How do we get them connected? And the websites and the apps are not necessarily the right thing. And I'm still in the research here. I'll let you know when I get into, you know, the results here. But I'm coming to it. I'm definitely coming to it. And professional-wise, not only that there is probably a lot to offer. I mean, before you needed to, start finding a job somewhere, people to help you write a resume, like the old-fashioned way. Now, what happens now, you get, you know, different information through social media. Everybody mm-hmm. has LinkedIn, and I myself get all kind of job, you know, proposals, even through LinkedIn. And again, too much information coming, too much out there. What do I do with it? How do I deal with it? And on top of it, which I'll discuss later, is your specific numbers within numerology is even a bigger confusion. Because when I see people with your number, I said, I have good news for you and I have bad news for you. They're both kind of like good news and I'll explain them, but it's difficult. I mean, we go at a very young age to college and you choose something to do. And then later on is what you chose to do in life. Do I really want to do it for the rest of my life? Are you in that point? Do you feel, if I'll ask you something different, if today you're going to win $10 million, okay? What would you choose to do if money was not the issue? What is, like, throw me the one thing that you would want to do in life.
I would probably travel and document it.
Okay.
And just, like, live lavishly and go to the best hotels and restaurants and destinations and all of that kind of stuff and, like, bring friends and, I don't know, do that kind of thing, you know, where it's like money's no option.
Okay. So obviously that's not something we can choose to do in life, but at least you know some kind of passion that you have, which is the traveling, which is exploring, which is there's something around it. And when you start, you know, working it this way, you can sometimes find that you have other things that you actually can do within your skills and within your experience that not necessarily what you do right now. Because right now what you do is also something that can give you the salary, that can give you your lifestyle, that because we have to, not because we want to.
Yeah.
But you spoke about something interesting, which is a big, big life decision, which is you said I wanted to do Aliyah. I was thinking about moving to Israel. And what brought you to that? Because you don't, your family has nothing to do, right, with Israel. How did you come about that?
So I had grown up Jewish. I went to Hebrew school, had a bat mitzvah, all of that kind of stuff. It also like always felt forced on me. Like it was like, you're doing this because you have to, not because it's a choice. So I had a little stint, I'd say, away from Judaism after my bat mitzvah and before college. And when I went to college, I found Hillel in like a Jewish community. And it was very just all about showing up as yourself in whatever form you want to and practicing your Judaism in whatever way you want to do so. And that there was no specific rules or timelines to any of that. And in my freshman year, also like sophomore year, but like I got the opportunity to go on Birthright, and I was one of those people who like drank the Kool-Aid, and I fell in love. And that was, I remember being in Sfax like on my trip and just like looking out at the mountains, and I just started crying. Because for the first time, one of the first times I'd say, like, but like majorly, in my life, I felt like I was in the right place, and like something had like clicked, and I felt like things were like matching up. So after that trip, I became obsessed and was like, I need to know more. I want to learn more. Like no one told me, like we had always talked about like Israel, but like from like an educational standpoint, not from like a cultural standpoint or like what it really is like to be there and to be experiencing the Israeli culture. So after that, I figured out how to go to Israel 10 more times. And that was on like different trips, different like Israel advocacy trips, all of that kind of stuff. It eventually led me to being the president of our campus's Student Supporting Israel Club on campus. And I just became like extremely passionate about advocating for Israel and like the importance of it. And with that in mind, I hit 10 years of being in San Diego last August, and I had been feeling like it was time for a change. And for me, like jokingly, but I guess not, I would always say it's either San Diego or Tel Aviv, because that's just like where I feel super comfortable and happy. So I had learned that with like Aliyah, like one, it's an amazing opportunity and something that felt right for me, especially at that time, wanting change, wanting something new. I was 27 at the time. So my thought was that I was gonna do the rest of my 20s there and maybe even do like a master's program. Since that was something I hadn't tried yet and hadn't really given too much thought about, but they do give some subsidies to help you pay for that. And as a person who paid for my bachelor's like with student loans, because I was paying out of state tuition, that was really exciting to know that I could advance my career in that way. I really wanted to do that. And also, personally was thinking that it would bring me a higher opportunity to meet someone Jewish, because ultimately, like, I want my partner to be Jewish. My ex was not Jewish, and I learned a lot from that, and I can go into that more if you want later, but, so I thought it'd be a great opportunity for me to surround myself with like-minded Jews and especially Israelis, because I mean, I love Israelis. I love like the culture, and I love I don't know, the quickness, the bluntness, all of those kind of things. I feel like I resonate with a lot of that. And every time I come back from Israel to the US, it's kind of like a reverse culture shock for me, because I get so used to being in like the swing of things in Israel and just going and like bopping around, meeting new people. Everyone is just like super friendly, at least like in, from my experience. So that was like something I was really excited about, going and like living in and being a part of. I had done like a 2-month marketing internship when I was in college and got to live in Israel for those 2 months. So that was really exciting for me and I loved it, but I was also 21. So it was like a different time completely in my life. But yeah, that's my Aliyah situation.
Okay, it's interesting. There's something interesting, first of all, because I know a lot of Jewish families in the US that want their kids to go to Hebrew school and to do the holidays and do Shabbat. And obviously they're like, I don't really feel like I'm being forced. I hate that. And so and so. And then you go to college and basically you see how making your own decision, nobody is pushing you into doing anything. And you're still choosing to do that because you feel like you belong. You feel it's like your soul found, this is where I want to be. This is my place. I've been through it with my son, by the way, who was raised in a private Jewish school. And when he got to age 18, I said, why don't you go to Yeshiva University in New York? And he's like, Ima, you sheltered me for 18 years. Let me go my way. I was like, fine, just go. He ended up in San Diego State University, the party college, obviously.
We had our partying days.
But the first week I followed him on Facebook and I was like, oh my God, he's like, you know, going around with people that he's not used to. He's so used to being around Jewish people.
Yeah.
But within a week or less than a week, he already found himself into AAPI, which is the Jewish fraternity. So without me saying anything, without me being involved, he still found his way again into being surrounded by Jews, Chabad, synagogue, Hillel, obviously, of course, AAPI, which is his brothers until this day. So it's beautiful to see that how you yourself, once you are out of the house, you still make a decision to go there, and your journey to Israel is, again, it's like a soul that is looking for a house, looking to feel that she belongs. And that's where you find, and I see it a lot. I actually see it a lot from American Jews who are completely against it until certain age, and then they get connected. And thank God, you know, for Birthright for doing that. And thank God for Hillel, obviously, who's connecting all of you. And I don't care if they connect you, but, you know, because of parties and drinking, I don't care if that's what brought you there at the beginning. But after that, you find a home, you find a place where you want to be. And that's a beautiful thing. And I think also that's what connected you to Israel. But it's probably very tough to make a decision to do Aliyah. And I'm not sure if your parents supported it, or because it's scary.
Yeah, no, they honestly were scared, because, like, for one thing, I forgot to mention, my mom, she's Filipino, and then my dad is like an Ashkenazi Jew, and that's why I look Sephardic.
That's the beautiful combination.
Thank you. But so my dad had gone with his like synagogue when he was like 18. So he got to see Israel a little bit, but from him being 18 to now it being like 2024, a lot has changed, and a lot is always changing in Israel. There's always a new building going up, or I don't know, just like lots of new fun things happening, progressive like economy, all of that kind of stuff. So my mom was really nervous, but my dad was like, okay, I guess, because he's like, I get it, like, but okay. And then my mom, she was more nervous. She'd never been to Israel, and she had been seeing in college, I'd been going to Israel all the time. She's like, why Israel? I don't understand. She started doing a lot of research when I was doing all of my Aliyah applications, and got to kind of like a place where she's like accepted it, because that's also my personality, I'd say, where it's like once I'm set on something, I'm going to do it, no matter what anyone says. If it's what feels aligned and right for me, then that's what I'm going to do. So she's my mom. She grew up with me. Like, she knew, she knows this about me. So at a certain point, she kind of just had to accept that, like, this was happening. But yeah, it was, yeah. So it was a really interesting experience for a little while going through that.
Did you feel that it's a very big risk that you are taking, or you felt like that's meant to be, that's where I need to be, I'm just going to do it?
It honestly felt like both of those. I felt very pulled to making Aliyah and to moving my life out of California and to Israel. But at the same time, I do have a very beautiful friend group here in San Diego. A majority of them are Jewish. So I'm like, there is a pattern with that. And just me feeling very comfortable being surrounded by other Jewish people, Jewish friends. But like, I think that was the hardest thing for, like, for me to like be far away from all of them, because they're like my family in San Diego, and then also being far from my family who currently live in Vegas. But at the same time, I kind of felt like this was like my opportunity. I'm single. I'm, at the time, I was 27. Like, I was kind of like, why not? You know, like, if there's a time to do it, it's now. Like, and without, like, yes, I do have a lot of roots down in San Diego, but at the same time, I feel like it was just me at like a part of my life where I was willing to take the risk and to figure out how to make new friends there and like find people with common interests and find a job in an industry that I enjoyed, but would also bring me an income so then I can like pay for all the normal things that adults pay for. That was just, yeah. Right?
No, it's great.
The making process.
Before I'm diving into your numerology, because it's just like, I can't, I have to. It's like within me. If I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you a second to answer. What is the main priority for you right now? Is it professional or is it personal? Is it career or is it being in a relationship and building a family? Like that. Don't think too much.
I feel like it's all of it. But that could also
be
like
number one. I know it's hard to answer. That's why I'm telling you, don't think. I want your intuition to kick in.
Yeah. I would say a relationship, because I do want to have a family and kids and all of that.
Okay. So remember that you said that. It's important. Okay?
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to dive a little bit into your numerology. And I said, even though you gave me permission to expose, I'm not exposing everything. I'm exposing what is needed right now and what will wrap up this whole conversation and how I can see things from your numbers without even having that talk with you. Because I prepared everything, which is, I love to show my map, even though no one can understand it unless you're a numerologist. This is Lauren. This is Lauren. And then I write down things for myself. But numerology basically works through the date of birth of an individual. What we do is we combine all the numbers within the date of birth into a one single digit, and that is called a life path number. The life path number shows me the destiny and the potential, the soul that came into the world and chose to be born on a certain date, chose to be born for a reason, and chose to be born to a certain family also for a reason. And the first thing I look at is your life path number. And when I looked at that, the life path number that I got is the number 8. And I will dive a little bit more into the number 8. And numerology goes from the number 1 to 9. So it's 9 numbers. Each number has special traits, personality, strengths and weaknesses, how people behave at times of stress, occupations, skills, and so much more. The number 8 is part of the materialistic group of number. It's considered a male group of, or energy-wise, a male group of number. That's why when I see number 8, I always ask, what was your relationship with your dad? Just because it gives me information, not because I want to dive into it. And then I want to say that the 8 is considered a very strong number, because the 8 is the ambition, the one that wants to do, usually to be independent, let's say not necessarily, but they want to be in charge. They can be stubborn. They are a doer. When they want something, it has to be done. Very powerful. When I see it within relationship and the female is the number 8, I said, you have to balance a little bit. You'll see them a lot in as business people, into banks, into financial institutions, dealing with money, dealing with, you know, the real thing. But the 8, the biggest thing about it is that they need to keep balance. There has to be a balance in order for them to be successful and to reach that number 8. They have to have balance. And that's probably one of the biggest challenges of people who are number 8. And
definitely.
If I'll just read a little bit of things that I wrote so that I don't forget anything. Like I said, it's associated with power, ambition, material success. Individuals with this number are often natural leaders with a strong drive for achievement. Practical, organized, efficient, often excelling in business and financial matters, like I said. Now, the downside to the 8, and I'm not calling it a bad thing, I'm trying to see how I wrote it, because I wrote it nice, actually. Okay, the challenges. I called it as challenges of the number 8. Because it's a strong 8 influence within your numerology chart, and I'll explain in a second why, you may be experiencing difficulties aligning with energy of the number. The number 8's powerful vibration can sometimes lead to challenges such as over-empathize on material success, potentially at the express of a personal relationship and inner peace. We spoke about it, feeling burdened by responsibilities and the pressure to succeed, a struggle with authority, either in positions of power or dealing with those power. Now, the number 8 is interesting in your case. And why? Because the day itself that you are born is also 8. If you put the numbers together, and your name converted into numbers is also the number 8. So normally in numerology, when we open a map, we look at all there's more that we look in, but we are looking at a triangle, and the triangle is a golden triangle. It's the life path number. It's the day that a person is born. And then it's the name. Those three things are very critical to look and see, because we want them to harmonize with each other. And this is how it looks in your case. Okay?
Wow.
So
when
I saw that, I was like, wow. I mean, okay, what's going on here? So it's not a bad thing. Okay, but
yeah.
I would know your parents when you were born, or they would come to me and say, hey, our daughter Lauren was just born on this date. What do you suggest that we'll choose for a name? I would probably try to balance a little bit that triangle with choosing a name that will be a little bit easier. But the way to balance those numbers, and this is a big balance here because it's 3-8, is first of all to look to work within your other numbers in your date of birth, which is the month that you were born, which is the number 2, and even the year that you were born, which is the number 7, and the number 7 is part of the spiritual group of numbers. So when I looked at it, I was like, okay, let me look and see, is she balancing herself with spirituality? Because to balance materialism, you balance it with spiritual life. And there are different ways to do it, but I look at it more like, obviously, you've done some work. You did some therapy. You've connected to other things that are within the spiritual life. But I actually looked at the journey that you had with Judaism and with your connection. And I'll go even bigger than that. Your journey into finding something in Israel, spiritual connection. That is a spiritual connection that can actually balance you and help you. So when you told me that you were thinking about Aliyah, I was like, okay, she's getting it. But then you say, okay, but I was ready to do that. I knew all the risks and I chose to take the risk and I was ready. And then something happens. So yeah. Some people will say, oh, poor luck, you know, because obviously it has nothing to do with me or with you, but we are all involved somehow with what happened in October 7.
Yeah.
But it's almost like numerology, I look at timing, okay? So if something is very good for you and it needs to happen, the second thing I need to check, is it happening in the right timing? Is that the time for her to do a change? And if you come to me for consultation, I look at it. When you look at Waze, when you're using Waze, you put the origin and the destination. And the ways will basically show you what is the easiest way or the quickest way to get from point A to point B. But first of all, when you start the drive, when I drive to San Diego, I put it in my ways. It shows 2 hours and 30 minutes. And as I start going, things happen along the way. And suddenly it says, wait a second, we are recalculating. Add another 15 minutes to your ride. Oh, take an exit. And we'll meet you again on the freeway because something happened there. It's exactly the same thing in life and exactly the same thing in numerology. So when it was very interesting because when I looked, when October 7 happened, you were in year 9. Sorry, you were in year 8. And year 8 is not a bad year. It's a year that you are powerful, but you had also an energy still of year number 7. Year number 7 is not a year that you make big changes. It's not a year that you do something new. It's a year that you're connected to spirituality. It's a year that you just learn. It's a year that you ask yourself questions. Am I doing right? Am I getting a positive feedback from the universe? What is happening? Where do I go from here? And you are open to the positive or negative feedback that you receive. Now, what happened here is something happened, not even on your land. It happened in a completely different place, but almost was like, wait a second, Lauren, put a pause, because now it's not the right time for you. Why? For a million of reasons. We don't know that. That's beyond our, you know, way of understanding things. So you moved on and you are now, since February, you're in year 9. And year 9 is closing a cycle. It's a year that you're supposed to close a cycle of 9 years. And the 9 years actually starting at age 19. Okay? And it's closing now at your age, you're closing a cycle, which means whatever I did until now, if I feel that I need to make a change, now is the time to start wrapping it up. I need to close that so that on your next birthday or close to your next birthday, you're starting a new cycle. You're going to be on year one, which is new beginnings, okay? New mm-hmm. ideas, and starting a new cycle of 9 years. Now, what was interesting with those 9 years is the next 9 years, I mean, that you're starting like almost now, actually on your birthday, but almost now, mm-hmm. you are starting a cycle that has to do with an energy of family, building a family. So even though you are in the materialistic group of number, your priority is more to build a family. And that's why I was asking you that question. And I told you, don't think too much, because then you yeah. answer me from your conscious mind. And I don't want you to answer from there. I want yeah. you to answer me from a place without filters and without judgment. And that's your subconscious mind. And that's when you answered me, you know what, if I need to choose, yeah, I want to build a family first, because that's where you are. At age 28 to 37 is when you are starting to build a family. So I from the way I can see numerology, I can see at least one pregnancy within those years. So year age 28 to 37, I can see building a family. And I can see that that's probably one of the main reasons why you want to move to another place. And you are moving to a place that you are more connected spiritual, that you believe that you can find your soulmate. It was going to be easier for you to find a soulmate. And I think that's why this move is happening. Materialistic-wise and professional-wise, you trust yourself. You know that yeah. wherever someone will throw you, you'll find a way.
Yeah.
You know that you will succeed. But there's something interesting in numerology, and you may not, I'm not sure that you'll understand it, but maybe. In numerology, sometimes we say that a person sometimes do not reach their destiny. Again, your destiny is to be a successful business person, material, and all those. If you'll get married, you may find someone that has more either spiritual numbers, remember 7 and 9, mm-hmm. or emotional numbers, which are 2, 3, and 6.
Okay.
Because you will change destinies, kind of. You will take his numbers and have a family and raise a family, and he will be the one to take your numbers to be the supporter and the more materialistic, the one who provides, the one who takes care of it. So, and it's all intuition what I'm doing right now, because 5 numerologists can read the same map and come up with a little different with a little different conclusions. But my intuition says to me that first of all, you will do that move, okay? Whether you will do it towards the end of this year, meaning before your birthday, or after the birthday when you are in year one, that's your decision. That's the decision I'm giving you. But I can definitely see you, because of your need to connection to spiritual life, to something spiritual within you. Mm-hmm. I see you doing such a move. Now, if you wouldn't tell me Israel, I would tell you maybe you are moving somewhere else. It doesn't have to be Israel. But because you had some kind of interest, and it's something you almost did, then I will not be surprised if that's what it be. Also, because year 9 is also big moves. It's not just I'm moving to the next house. It's a big move. It's something bigger than that. Okay? It's a bigger message. It's a spiritual message. So I see that happening, and you do it because you're supposed to start a family between the age 28 to 37, okay? It's mm-hmm. it's something that I see happening, and I'm trying to look if I see when. I see the second part Okay, so like February, March, April, May, June, July, you are still, I don't see a change, but August, now August, September, and October are the months that I see you starting to build something with that family and even getting stronger November, December, January. Okay? So I actually see that thing happening, and I believe something like that is happening. That move that will connect you to spirituality, that will make you build a family, that you'll find the one, you'll start building the family, you'll be more spiritually connected, and that's the balance of the number eight. And me myself, I believe that you'll bring your successful number, because it's very strong numbers, into the person you'll choose to live with. He's going to be the one to take those successful numbers from you. And again, numerology is not a future telling. And I always tell people, I cannot tell the future. No way. If somebody asked me, I said, I can't do that. I can tell you the energy. I can see the energy. I can use my intuitions and bring it towards you. And that's my message to you. Hopefully, it's a positive message for you. Hopefully, it's something you wanted to hear. And we have very, very, very short time to hear from you, because we have less than, I think we have less than 4 minutes to end the show. How does it feel for you when you hear all that?
It feels good. In a way, it feels even like hopeful, maybe. I don't know if that's like the specific word, but that's what's coming to mind right now. I do personally feel more ready to be in a relationship with someone who is in addition to both of our, like being additions to each person's life. And yeah. Progressing that forward, and yeah.
Do you understand though how numerology can help you? Because we started the whole show talking about how to make decisions. There's so many opportunities and so many things that are open, and you are kind of lost. Not just you. I mean, adult, older people have the same issues. But I was just trying to show you how by opening a map, and I didn't go too deep. I didn't go into, like whatever. Do you understand how it gives you a hint, kind of, into how to make my decision?
Yes, definitely, 100%.
Okay. So first of all, I'm happy that, we could share that. And I'm happy that I could give you a positive message, because I definitely see a positive message. I see, by the way, also age 31 is a very important year. Remember that I said that, 31. So I don't know if it means getting married at 31, having a child at 31, because it could be a first child from the numbers that I'm looking at. But I do see 31 as a very important age in your life. So you have something to look forward to, for sure. And I love it that, as strong as you are, you are connected. You are connected to your inner self. You are connected to your intuitions. Don't be afraid to listen to your intuitions. And remember, as a number eight, the infinite, you can do anything you wish to do. So occupation-wise, everything is a good fit for you. You can do whatever you want to do, but you are now concentrated on building a family, on finding the right one, and that's where you're going. That's what you're doing, and I can see that. So I'm like sending you to a journey now. And don't forget to keep me posted so that I know what
Of
and
course.
when are you
Of
doing it.
course.
But yeah, you definitely got my blessing.
Amazing. I'll have to give you an update, especially like definitely at 31, but also in like a year from now in fall.
Exactly, definitely. I see it before. I see it like 6 months from now. Something is starting to happen. So be open to that. And that's it. I want to thank you very much for coming here and for exposing yourself like that. I was trying to give you, you know, as much as I can, because that's how I see, you know, the show, me giving to others. So thank you so much, Lauren, and we'll be in touch.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure.
You're listening to Show Me the Numbers with Yael Kagan, only on LA Talk Radio.